Welcome to the School of the Word. This is Lesson 2 in our teaching on the life of Daniel, titled Nebuchadnezzar's Dream. Our teacher today is Alan Smith.
How is everyone? We're actually about a minute ahead of schedule, but I think His presence is already here. Amen. As we get started, should be sure to remember that the notes are of last week is at the back. Also, for those that would like a copy of the complete teaching of Trevor Craig, that's album is also back there, and they're free of charge, provided by the church, and so those are back there, and if those get gone, we'll get some more. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and let's see what He has for us this morning. Lord Jesus, we love You, and we thank You for this day that You've made. And Lord God, we do ask and pray that Your Holy Spirit would, and it is here, we ask and pray that it'll invade our hearts, that we might be in tune with You and with Your Word and Your way. And Lord Jesus, such a wonderful opportunity that You've given us to be on planet Earth. And I ask and pray, oh God, that Your Word would take its rightful place in our hearts, and it would be 100% real, that it would take its rightful place in this church. Be 100% real. It would take its rightful place in this county, state, and in this country, that it's a 100% real. So, Lord God, give us the revelation, give us the connection between You and Your Word and the heavens and the purpose that You have us here on this earth for in this short period of time that we're here. Give us revelation and instruction on how to move forward, that You might be glorified and that You can look at us and say, well, that time was not wasted. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, we welcome you this morning to the second lesson in the teaching of the life of Daniel. The way I have titled this is the life of Daniel. It's not teaching the book of Daniel, for we can teach the book of Daniel and miss the life of Daniel. And it's the life of Daniel that causes the book of Daniel to come alive, And without Daniel's life being exposed and being brought into the scene, into our understanding, we cannot capture what the Lord's trying to say through it. So, and also on Wednesday nights, we'll be doing the same teaching, but a much more in-depth teaching with emphasis on dreams, visions, and interpretations. As I was doing this teaching in the life of Daniel, and as I was talking with Pastor and Elizabeth about Wednesday nights, about dreams and visions, and I was trying, separate dreams and visions, interpretations, without teaching the book of Daniel to understand how that phenomena happens. Understanding, interpreting dreams and visions, and even having dreams and visions, are not done mechanically. It's not done by 1 + 1 = 2. It's not a formula that we can interpret dreams, as some have tried, but many have failed. The key to understanding dreams and visions is we must have the life of Daniel, the eyes of a Daniel, to be able to see as a Daniel sees. Because we see that Daniel had favor, and it was in this favor and it was in this life that we're trying to capture. So as we begin to today, we went over lesson chapter 1 last week, and I didn't quite get completely through chapter 1. So I'll do just a little quick overview, bringing us up through the ending of chapter 1, begin chapter 2. And as we saw in chapter 1, and I encourage you to read these chapters, to read the book of Daniel. It's got 12 chapters. Just read it over and over and over, and you'll start getting the book in you. There again, it's a supernatural book. It's a phenomena, and that happens through repetition. Babylon, we see, is more than a land. Babylon is what? It's a philosophy. It's a way of thinking. It's an attitude. It's a culture. We went over that last week, how we're trying to discover how we are living in that type culture. Also, the book of Daniel, coupled with the book of Revelation, it speaks about end times, what's happening in the end times, what things will look like. We have been assigned to this particular Babylon at this present time. If you have been born and you find yourself living today, we are in a type of a Babylon, but also we have been born for this specific place and time in this cultural scene and in this environment. The question is, how much There's a battle going on of the kingdom of God trying to infiltrate Alan, and also the kingdom of Babylon trying to infiltrate Alan. And it's amazing how we try to see how much of the kingdom of God can tolerate Babylon. As we see in the life of Daniel, it's not very much. And so if we have been infiltrated, if we have been influenced by this cultural spirit of Babylon, what's important is for us to be able to identify that in our own lives. And it's with this identification, there'll be a part of you that will fight what this teaching is trying to say to you by the Spirit of God. There's part of you that'll fight it, that it will not want it. So we can sit here and say we enjoy it and we want to go after it. Yes, teach us the life of Daniel. But I know, standing here, there's a battle going on in each and every one of you, including myself, when we encounter the truth of this book. Are we being brainwashed by it? Is it getting to us? We are being continuously indoctrinated by this world culture. If it's nothing else but sheer time, the influence of the news and everything around us at work, everything is influencing you. It's influencing me. And to have I think I said last week, it's everyone wants the church to be relevant to the world. And I think the question is, are we relevant to the kingdom of God? We don't want to be irrelevant to the world, but we want to be relevant to the kingdom of God. And I've got this sneaking feeling, if we really are relevant to the kingdom of God, that people will want what we have. I really have this sneaking feeling that they're looking for what we have if we'll not hide it. We recognize Babylon in Isaiah 47:8. Now then, listen, you lover of pleasure, lounging in your security and saying to yourself, I am and there is none besides me. You have trusted in your wickedness and have said, no one sees me. Your wisdom and knowledge mislead you when you say to yourself, I am and there is none besides me. What is the spirit of Babylon? It's when it's all about me. Everything's about me. I don't like this. I don't like that. You can come into this church sanctuary and say, well, I don't like the seats like this. I don't know what difference that makes. I mean, it looks that we would like to be in the presence of God with no seats, with no matter what the configurations of the seats are. What difference does it make? What if it's all about God and not all about you? Could it be if it's all about me and the seats that I'm not entering the presence of God? What if we came in one Sunday and knowing this church, it could happen. There were no seats in the sanctuary. There's no telling what will happen when our pastor wakes up in the morning. I blamed you for that one, Pastor. In Daniel 1, we see that Daniel had training in Babylon. And we see there, if you go on down, it says the king ordered Aspenaz, chief of the court officials, to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the what kind of family? From the royal family and nobility. Now, if you're born again, are you from a noble royal family? The answer is you are. So we found here last week that in Babylon, that the spirit of Babylon, that culture wants you. It wants your anointing. I covered that last week. How this spirit of Babylon needs your anointing. It wants you. It also is looking for young men without physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. So we were seeing that the spirit of Babylon is looking for that. We are being indoctrinated by self-indulged culture. We must be very deliberate in not being indoctrinated by the spirit of Babylon. Subconsciously, the soul is always trying to negotiate with your spirit on how it can tolerate the spirit of Babylon in your life and still maintain residence in the kingdom of God. It is a very hard thing to negotiate. If you lose territory to one kingdom, another kingdom has gained it. It's just the way it is. Babylon wants to capture people from a royal family, which we are. Babylon wants to use your anointing to accomplish its purposes. There's a high premium on youth, beauty, and what? and intelligence in the spirit of Babylon. We covered that in depth last week. Now we see here that the king assigned them a daily amount of what in verse 5? This is chapter 1. Of food and wine from the king's table. But here we see that Daniel, he refused it. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that they were to enter the king's service. Among those who were chosen were from Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names to Daniel. He gave the name of Belshazzar, to Hananiah, Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. Now, it's important that you be able to learn these names as we move forward. Nothing is more dangerous, we saw, than being held in friendly captivity. And we'll see this, that with the second king, Cyrus, we'll get more into that understanding as he sets Israel free and how they would not leave and that sort of stuff. We'll get into that in chapter 7. Captivity, one thing about captivity, though, it never remains friendly. We saw that. It is I want it my way mentality. Now, the neat part about this is they were just four men among many people. But yet they maintained something. They maintained it. Now watch this. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Now why did he not want to defile himself with the food and the wine? Well, most of the food had first been given to false gods. If it was meat, it had been sacrificed before the false gods. A lot of times they would use the blood in the gardens of the sacrificed meats, and also the blood of the enemies that had been killed, and they would use that for fertilizer over the vegetables in the gardens, and then they would eat it because they felt like that gave them strength to have this type of fertilizer. So Daniel knew that. So he knew that he didn't want to do that. Now, God had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel, but the official told Daniel, I am afraid of my Lord, the king, who has assigned your food and drink. Now, look at verse 9. Now, God had caused the official to show what? So, is there such thing as having favor of God? Yes, there is. Now, if you'll notice in the scripture, the favor that God issued for Daniel came after Daniel had a resolve. So, you want to be a Daniel? You want to interpret dreams and visions? Do you want to have the favor of God? You have to have a resolve not to defile yourself. When that happens, then we can see here as an example of Daniel, if you want to be a Daniel, then you can see that you can get favor from God. Very, very important. We will lose our integrity and identity without what? Resolve. We will lose our integrity. We will lose our identity without this resolve to serve God and not Babylon. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. Resolve, we see here, equals what? Favor. Now, God had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel. Now it goes on in verse 12. It says, please test your servant for how many days? 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. So here we see that Daniel didn't want anything to do with that food that was sacrificed to idols. He did not want to take it in. But he did ask that they would only be given vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat royal food. Treat your servants in accordance with what you see. So he agreed to this and tested them for how many days? He tested them just for 10 days. It's not a hard test, is it? 10 days to eat vegetables, drink water. At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine they were to drink and gave them what? Vegetables instead. To these four men, God gave what? Knowledge, understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. And Daniel could understand what? Visions and dreams of what? When Daniel got the interpretations of visions and dreams, who gave it to him? God gave it to him. First of all, we can see that Daniel, his contribution was that he had a resolve. His resolve equaled a behavior. His behavior was he wasn't going to eat anything sacrificed to idols. He knew that there was no meat there if it came from the king's table, but what the blood had been given over to false gods. So he said to these four men, God gave what? Knowledge, understanding of all kinds of literature and learning, and Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. There's one thing to understand here. How many want to be a Daniel? Now, are you serious? I notice my hands are kind of getting a slightly fewer as I keep talking. If you want to be a Daniel, you have to have a resolve. And the second thing that Daniel did was he fasted. Say, glory, hallelujah. I'm so glad we headed there. Do you want to be a Daniel? You must learn how to fast. Why do we learn how to fast? That's another teaching. But fasting does things in bringing you into the world of the Spirit. Here we see that Daniel went through a type of a fast. He just had vegetables and water. Now, when he went through, he had a resolve with God. He had a proof to God that he had discipline in his life. That discipline, he said, listen, we're going to fast as vegetables and water. Now, for some reason, that fasting was a contribution. When God gave the knowledge and understanding, you got to understand something. Daniel had to receive it. So it's not so much about God giving it as it is us being a vessel that can receive it. Could it be God's been giving it all the time? Just a question that I ask. But we see here, by the life of Daniel, he had a resolve. We also see here that he understand you had to have discipline in your life. But he had a resolve about everything. Now, there's something about resolve and discipline. You cannot have a resolve and be disciplined in just one thing in your life. You say, well, I'm going to be disciplined. Why do we have the discipline of fasting? It is so, if you're disciplined in that area, you'll be disciplined in every area. I've had people say to me, well, Alan, I'm going to be disciplined in my food, but I'm not going to quit smoking. I say, well, it won't work. Why do most people fail at a diet? It's because they're trying to be disciplined in one area of their life. You're either disciplined in your life or you're not disciplined in your life. It's just the way it works. Well, you might be disciplined for a week, maybe a little bit, but it won't last long. Discipline, self-discipline is a lifestyle of a prophetic Daniel. So there again, if you want to come on Wednesday nights and learn more about visions and dreams, and you want to be a Daniel, I'm just putting out, you test what to say. What the books say, we can get interpretations of visions and dreams, and you can have visions and dreams. But you have to have a lifestyle of a Daniel. It is just one of being disciplined. You don't realize how undisciplined you are until you try to exercise some discipline. And then you'll understand just how much we're running and coasting downhill on automatic, and we're letting the culture of Babylon just direct our path. I promise you, one way you know that you're walking in disciplines is you feel like you're walking uphill against the culture, against the grain. I had Doug Mayberry said to me one time, said, Alan, how in the world are we going to heal the sick when we can't even say no to a biscuit? Amen. You must be what you need to be before you can do what you need to do. Now, I'm not trying to be religious here. Trust me, this is not a religious spirit that I'm teaching about. I'm teaching about the life of Daniel. And if you want to be a Daniel, we're just going over the life of Daniel. You must be what you need to be before you can do what you need to do. You must be disciplined in your life before you can do the disciplines of God. Here we see, let's go a little deeper. 1 Corinthians, I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. This is Paul. I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything. So we see we have the right to do anything we want to do today. But the question is it mastering us instead of us mastering it? Now, I invite those that will to enter into a Daniel fast for 10 days. Don't you wish you stayed home this morning? You can say no, that is just fine. It's not that you have to, but if you'd like to, I invite you for 10 days Now come on Wednesday night and see how many days it is. No, I'm just kidding. Same number of days. Same number of days. Do you want this? Do you want me to teach this book, or you want this book to be real? Do you really want it to be real? Let's do as Daniel did. You won't be. Listen, you can't wait till we get to the lion's den. I'm just asking you. I am inviting you for 10 days. Let's do a Daniel's fast. That's vegetables. If you want to just do vegetables, or you can do vegetables and water. I tell you a fast that I did one time. I just did a water fast. I ate anything I wanted to eat, but I just drank water. It's the hardest fast I ever done in my life. Because I drink tea and Coke and everything. Just going to drink water. Coffee. Wow. Yeah, but I hadn't heard God tell me that one today. You might tonight, but I haven't heard it today. That is totally up to you. That is between you and God. I'm just trying to, you can have water. I just feel compelled to call us all into a Daniel fast for 10 days. Coffee, water, and vegetable. Seems like coffee's the hardest one, doesn't it? Just like I say, you can do vegetables, you can do water, you can do vegetables and water. And if you really get into the diet of Daniel, you could see that they could eat fish and things that were not strangled. So, but anyway, all that will, let's try it for 10 days. Let's just see what happens. Let's test the life of Daniel. I'm sorry, too late. you didn't get it under the gun. Would anybody that's not going to do the fast like her breakfast? Just raise your hand. Yes, it is. We have a confession that coffee is actually water and a vegetable bean. Talk to God about it and we'll see how that one goes. Yes. It had to have been a supernatural thing because it was said it was given to them by God. It wasn't worked out by man. So yes, I do believe it was a supernatural thing that was given to them by God. You know, the thing about fasting, you can say, well, Alan, what's the deal? The only thing I can promise you, fasting has more spiritual qualities to it than you might think. And it has everything to do with discipline, self-discipline. Also has to do with purifying the body, your physical body, and other things also. So we see here that at the end of the time set by the king to bring them into his service, a chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service in every manner of what? Wisdom and understanding. Now watch this one, to those of you who want to try the Daniel fast. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better. Now there's one thing that we learn about having a resolve, being disciplined, using a fast as an example. There's a lot of things that you can fast. But we see that when it was given to them by God, that the wisdom was increased 10 times. So what happens when we go through this? We're going to test it and see what happens to us, see what our experiences are then. In chapter 2, we have Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And for the sake of time, I'm going to need to move real fast too. Fast as in I've got to hurry. It wasn't another fast. I saw everybody kind of flinch when I said that. In Daniel 2, the dream is speaking about two time periods, Bible prophecy and eschatology. Say the word eschatology. All right, eschatology. So we see that chapter 2 is speaking about two time periods. One's Bible prophecy. The other one is eschatology. Daniel's interpretation addresses Bible prophecy, which had been fulfilled. And we'll see in chapter 2 about this statue, how much of it's been fulfilled and how much is yet to be fulfilled. And eschatology, which will be things that will happen in the what? Anytime you hear the word eschatology, it's talking about end time futuristic events. Has anybody heard the word eschatology before? Have you wondered what it was? All right. Eschatology means the study of things that are final. Let me ask you this. Let's look at verses 36 and 35 to set the precedence for this. This is of chapter 2, prophecy fulfilled, past and present. This is the dream, and now we will interpret it to the king. Your majesty, you are. The King of Kings, the God of heaven has given you, past tense, it's present and past, dominion and power, might and glory. In your hands he has placed all mankind, and the beasts of the field and the birds in the sky. Wherever they live, he has made you ruler over them all. You are the head of gold. Now we'll get into this as we explain what this statue in Daniel 2 is. Now remember, we want to be as a Daniel. The book of Daniel is about symbols, and we want to interpret those symbols. As Christians, as a spiritual people, we're supposed to be able to read the symbols that are around us. Everything is a language and is symbolic. Now here's the things that will happen in the future. This is in verse 45 of chapter 2. This is the meaning of the vision of the rock cut out of the mountain, but not by human hands. Say that with me. A rock cut out of a mountain, but not by human hands. Now remember that rock that's cut out of the mountain, and it wasn't cut by human hands. The cornerstone at King Solomon's temple, they could not quarry the stone for the temple at the temple site. They had to quarry, and the men had to cut them out and everything off-site, and then they brought them on-site and just put them together. When it was time to put the cornerstone in, and the cornerstone in was put in, there were several of them, but the main one was put in almost last. It's amazing how they built it. But as a cornerstone, when they quarried the cornerstone, it came in first, but it wasn't used until last. And in the scriptures, you can see in several places where the masons said, well, where is the cornerstone? And they said, well, it's the one that has not been cut by human hands. So the cornerstone of the temple was a big stone brought in, but it wasn't cut by human hands. Now you want to remember that all the way through the scripture as a prophetic people, when it speaks about the stones that are not cut by human hands. It says a rock, but not by human hands, a rock that broke the iron, the bronze, the clay, silver, and gold to pieces. The great God has shown the king what will take place, what? In the future. So we see in chapter 2, we got this big statue. And in this statue, it talks about past times past, talks about present times, and it talks about time to come. Now, Nebuchadnezzar's dream was covered, the prophetic view of Gentile history from his reign until the coming of the Messiah. Now, on this statue, you actually have four different groups of metals, and we'll get into these. This dream prophesied Gentile empires between the time of Nebuchadnezzar and Jesus Christ. And you say, Alan, what has that got to do with us today? It has got everything. It has everything to do with it. The end of the age. In your paperwork, you'll have Luke chapter 21. Turn in your paperwork. If you don't have it, you can get it at the back there. In your paperwork, in Luke chapter 21, you can read there in Luke 21 about the destruction of the temple and the sign of the end times. Tony, get ready to turn me down if I do sneeze, because I'm going to sneeze, I think. The destruction of the temple starts in verse 5. You can go over to verse 24. And in verse 24, it says, they will fall by the sword and will be taken as prisoners to all the nations. Jerusalem will be trampled on by the Gentiles until the times of the what? Till the times of what? Until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. So we can see that the Gentile time, and you'll see that in the dream of this, of chapter 2, of this statue of Nebuchadnezzar, you'll see the times of the Gentiles. Here's the important part. The reason I believe personally that the Church of Jesus Christ is losing faith today is because we have ceased to connect the Word of God. And when we connect the Word of God, it'll minister faith to your spirit. It'll minister faith to your spirit. We're running low faith in the church. We need more faith. How do we get more faith? It's by seeing that this book is true. And when you connect the dots, as I'm teaching, hopefully you can connect the dots and the Holy Spirit in you will say yes and amen to that. That's the truth. My goodness, that's the truth. And as you say and give a witness to the truth, who is the truth? Jesus Christ is the truth. And it's the witnessing of that truth within you that's a supernatural, spiritual download of more faith. I do not have the ability, nor do I want the ability, to convince you that this book is true. But when the Holy Spirit gives you a witness that it's true, then you get a download of faith. If I convince you that it's true, there's no faith to sustain your intellectual knowledge. But when you have a witness of the truth, you get a download of faith. Now, let's keep that in mind. Luke 21, 24 speaks about when the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Look at verse 25. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. Do you see that? Now, go to the other scripture that I gave you, which is Acts 2. Do you see that one? Did I give you that one or did I print? I did? Okay. Acts chapter 2. If you don't have the papers, you can turn there in your Bibles, or the papers are on the back desk. Acts chapter 2. Look at it in verse 17. In the last days, God says, when you think of the word last days, what new word that you learned this morning do you think of? Eschatology. In the last day, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days and they will do what? They will prophesy. I will show wonders in heavens above. You see that one? And signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood. Go back to the scripture that I gave you in Luke. In verse 25, it says, the times of the Gentiles will be fulfilled. In verse 24, there will be signs in the sun, moon, and the stars. Connect these dots. We see in Luke that you're going to have a fulfillment of a filling, or there will be a Gentile period that will become full. We compare it with Acts chapter 2, because right after the fulfilling in verse 25, we see there's going to be signs in the sun, moon, and the stars. We know that hasn't happened yet. So we also know in Acts chapter 2 that we are between verse 18 and 19. So prophetically speaking, we are living in a time period between verses 18 and 19 of Acts 2 and between verses 24 and 25 of Luke 21. Knowing that, it's very important, because we know that we are at the end of an age. And it's at the end of this age that we're going to understand Daniel. The spirit of Babylon, and what is the spirit of Babylon going to be like? I'll tell you what it's going to be like. For those who have resolve and have discipline in their lives, you're going to have dreams, you're going to have visions, and you're going to prophesy. Just like the Bible says. Do you want a life of Daniel? When you start connecting the dots of the scriptures and you see the life of Daniel, where you are in the Luke chapter 21, where you are in Acts chapter 2, then we go back to Daniel. When we go back to Daniel, we will see exactly where we are. You will understand the statue of Daniel. In the centuries that followed Nebuchadnezzar's reign, history records the fulfillment of each prophecy. Now, here's Nebuchadnezzar's dream. If you hadn't read Daniel chapter 2, I was trusting and hoping you'd read it before you came to class this morning. If you haven't, you'll need to read Daniel chapter 2 so you'll understand more of what we're talking about. Now, in Nebuchadnezzar's dream, each portion of this statue represents a world empire. From Nebuchadnezzar until today, there have been exactly four. Isn't that amazing? Now let me ask you something. From Nebuchadnezzar until today, there have been exactly four. I want to show you these world empires. This statue, the head was gold, shoulders and arms were silver. There's a place here in the middle, the girdle here is brass. The legs are what? They're bronze or iron. And the feet is iron and clay. And if you look at the bottom of his feet, there's a stone. It's an uncut stone. Gold, silver, bronze, iron, and clay. As you go down the statue, it starts off with the most precious metal. And as it goes down the statue, it get the metal, you're trading value for strength. As you go down the statue, gold, silver, bronze, iron, and clay, What do you have to do to pure gold so it'll just stay on the necklace? You have to add impurities to it. Pure gold is soft, but it's very valuable. Same way with his statue. Started off with Nebuchadnezzar. Started off with a head that's gold. And this is going to be time periods. So we see what happens is mankind is going to trade value for strength. It's going to trade value for strength. What is the spirit of Babylon in your life? It's when you trade value for strength. Life has come against your resolve to stay pure gold for God. So you lose your resolve. You start bringing your value on down, but you get stronger. They're not going to hurt me again, bless God. They hurt me once, but they're not going to hurt me twice. So you start losing your value for the kingdom. How many times do you forgive in the kingdom? 70 times 7. You remain, you keep your integrity, you keep your resolve. As our minds take over, and as we come down and we see the statue through time, what happened to mankind? Watch this one. Here's the historic fulfillment. We started off with gold. We see that gold in this dream, this is the statue of chapter 2. We see that the gold, which is the head, is Babylon. Do you see that? You can turn there in Daniel if you have your Bibles, or if you have your observation worksheets there. You can see in Daniel chapter 2, you can see in verse 36, it talks about the dream. Now, over in chapter 2, Wednesday night, we'll be talking about dreams and visions. A lot of that's in chapter 2 and interpretation. But for today, we see the gold, which is the head. You see it in verse 36. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power and strength and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beast of the field and the fowls of the heaven hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art the head, which is gold. Now, when we say the head of gold, it's talking about a kingdom and an empire there. Who was the ruler in that for the head? Nebuchadnezzar. Who is Nebuchadnezzar? Nebuchadnezzar is the king of chapter 1, chapter 2. Nebuchadnezzar is the king in which Daniel went into and gave his interpretation. We can see here that the head was gold. It was Babylon. Who was the king? Nebuchadnezzar. The second one is what? It is silver. Now you can see it here in verse 39. And after these shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear a rule over thee. That's 2 and 3. So we can see that the silver was the Medo-Persian. Now it talks about the top part here, that silver, the arms, the chest. Now, you have how many arms on a healthy person? You have 2 arms on a healthy person. Talks about the Media and the Persia. It came together, and it's called the Medo-Persia. It's 2 arms, comes together. Who was the ruler there? Cyrus the Great. And we'll see this in Isaiah 44. Cyrus, a Gentile leader, is the one who set them free. Now, Cyrus the Great is the king that frees the Jews. There again, the Jews come into Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar. They're in captivity for how many years? 70 years they are in captivity. Daniel meets Cyrus. How old do you think Daniel probably was when he met Cyrus? Anybody? What, 85? Probably 85, 90. He was 13 to 17 when he went into Babylon. But we know the prophecy was for 70 years. So we also know that Daniel talks to Cyrus. So when Daniel talked to Cyrus, he must have been 85, 86, 87 years old. So Daniel lived in Babylon for 70 years, and he still could interpret dreams just as good at the end of the 70 years as he did at the beginning of the 70 years. So that tells us that Daniel held his resolve. He didn't give, he didn't move, he held. It says this in Isaiah 44:28 about Cyrus. who says of Cyrus, he is my shepherd and will accomplish all that I please. He will say of Jerusalem, let it be rebuilt, and of the temple, let its foundations be laid. Isaiah 45:1-4. This is what the Lord says to his anointed, to Cyrus. There again, God chose Cyrus. Now, this is what you've got to understand. Isaiah is 150 years after Daniel, after the statue of Daniel. This happens 150 years later. So how in the world did Daniel know it was Cyrus, and how did that happen? Well, if he could tell Nebuchadnezzar his dream and hadn't heard it, I think he could tell Cyrus and hadn't heard it. But the point being, this was 150 years later, and here it is. To Cyrus, whose right hand I take hold of to subdue nations before him and to bring kings of their armor, to open the doors before him so the gates will not be shut, I will go before you and will level the mountains. I will break down gates of bronze and cut through bars of iron. There we see that it speaks about it. I will give you a hidden treasures and riches stored in secret places so that you may know that I am the Lord and the God of Israel who summons you by name. Now what you've got to understand, Scripture, 150 years difference, still spoke of the man's name. That has to be supernaturally inspired. No way it could have happened. The head was made of what? Who is that? It's Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar's the leader. Silver is who? Medo-Persian. The leader there is Cyrus. The next one is bronze. It's Greece. Who's the great ruler there? Alexander the Great. You remember the stories of Alexander the Great. He's a young guy. He died at the age of 33. I like a lot of his quotes. Here's one of his quotes. I am not afraid of an army of lions led by a sheep. I am afraid of an army of sheep led by a lion. That just sounds like prophecy. Not even a believer. Remember upon the conduct of each depends the fate of all. This is my favorite, and I did it for a certain friend of mine. This was when he was on his deathbed. He said, I am dying with the help of too many physicians. You're welcome, Trevor. That was some of the famous quotes of Alexander the Great. The first one, his head is of what? Gold. And it's talking about Babylon, who's the leader. The chest and arms, silver. Medo-Persian, who's the leader. Third ones, bronze. Greece, who's Alexander the Great. Uh-oh, I left my Alexander out. The fourth one we see there is iron. It's the Roman Empire. Now, I have one little... No, I don't have time to read it. Time is out. I have a little part out of a sermon that I want to read of Ray Steadman. He's dead now. He died in the late 60s. And he puts all of this in perspective real well in just a few paragraphs. So I guess we'll need to pick up there next week. Same time, same channel. I invite you to read chapter 1, chapter 2, read the whole book of Daniel. But as we get on into more, the next part of this chapter 2, it has tremendous significance on where we're headed. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for today. We thank you for the power of your Spirit. And Lord God, we ask and pray that your presence will be with us as we go forth today, that you might be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.